Welcome to Take Note on WPSU. I'm Patty Satalia. With less than 4 weeks before the primaries, we're turning our attention to some of the bigger races on the ballot. We begin our coverage with the congressional candidates who are vying to secure the Democratic Party nomination to represent Pennsylvania's 5th Congressional District, a seat currently held by Republican Glenn Thompson. The 5th Congressional District covers the largest area of all Pennsylvania districts, spanning 16 counties. WPSU's Kate Lyle-Schaffner spoke with the candidates in our studio last week. First, we hear from Kareth Strano Taylor from Brookville. She's a lawyer and the president of the Brookville Area School Board. Then we'll hear from her challenger, Thomas Tarantella, an Army veteran from Renova.
Kareth Strano Taylor, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Tell me a little bit about your background. I know you went to Penn State for your undergraduate degree, and you actually started at the age of 16.
I did.
You studied political science. Did you always plan to go into politics?
It was something you always dream of doing, right? You either have the bug or you don't, and I certainly did. But the circumstances just unfolded beautifully. When I was at Penn State, I had the opportunity to intern for Congressman Klinger and spend a summer watching government work, and it worked. Democrats and Republicans were moving in and out of his office. Congressman Klinger was a Republican, and he represented us well for the number of years that he was there. And since that time, it's not working like that anymore. So the shutdown happened, and I looked at it, and I said, I knew this worked better at one point. We can do something better about this. So political science, politics in general, I've always followed it. I've always loved it, and it finally came to a moment that I had an opportunity to stand up and do something about it. So here we are.
You spent some time in D.C., as you said, interning, working in government affairs, and then earning your law degree at George Mason University. Then you came back to Brookville, where you grew up, and you ended up opening a law practice. Why did you leave D.C. and come back to the area?
So when I got my law degree, my last year of law school, I was a clerk at Keller & Heckman, which is a really large law firm of phenomenal people. And the partner track there was 70 to 80 hour work weeks. At the time, I had met the man I was going to marry, and we knew that the life that we wanted for our children, that we were going to one day have, looked different than that. So we decided to move home and open our own law firm. In our first year, we did no advertising and had over 100 clients, which was pretty phenomenal. And over the course of time, we have a nicely established practice. We're no longer married to one another, but we still work together every day. And we share custody of our children. And I realize if I can negotiate and compromise over custody of my children, keeping an eye on what's best for them, there's really nothing you can't negotiate and compromise. So moving home, my family was there. It was home to me. And I've never regretted that decision.
You touched on this, but bottom line, why are you running for Pennsylvania's 5th Congressional District?
So it was a very poignant moment. So the first week of the shutdown, I had a client in my office, a 22-year-old man who has a beautiful 2-year-old daughter, and he's a National Guardsman. And he shares with me that this was the weekend for his guard duty. But he had the opportunity to work overtime at work, time and a half on Saturday, double time on Sunday. And he poses the question to me, what should I do? Do I serve my guard duty? Do I go to work? And of course, he knew the answer. He wasn't really asking me to give him permission. But I said to him, you made a commitment to your country. You have to serve your guard duty. And his response to me stopped me in my tracks. And he said, didn't my country make a commitment to me? And in that moment, I was struck with a sense of embarrassment, to be honest. It had never occurred to me that my government wouldn't be able to figure out whether they were going to pay their servicemen and women. So I made the decision to go see Congressman Thompson. And within a month, I was in his office. We spent an hour. I wanted to know if we were going to be open for business in the spring or if we were going to do another one of these petty shutdowns. And his words to me were, the shutdown was a joke. And again, it stopped me in my tracks. And I'm not speechless often, but I'm looking at this man who claims to represent the people of the 5th District, and he said to me the shutdown was a joke. So I asked him to whom it was funny. And I gave him a list of all the people that had been in my office that had been personally affected by the shutdown, including the National Guardsmen. So the meeting that I had in November really clinched the decision to run, because I was going into that meeting with the expectation that he was going to be able to explain to me the decisions that he had made and the votes that he had made and why, and he couldn't. And that wasn't good enough.
How do you think your experience as a lawyer and also as president of Brookville School Board has prepared you for a congressional seat?
So something I think is missing from the way that government's been operating right now is the ability to negotiate and compromise. The nature of our government is not siloed. We have three branches that are expected to work together, and we haven't worked together in years. I had a really interesting experience last June. Our Free Legal Services office closed. They lost their funding, and that was the group that represented most of the folks in custody litigation that couldn't otherwise afford lawyers. This caused a huge backlog in our system. So my judge asked me if I'd be willing to sit down and conduct a conciliation with these folks. We have an 85% settlement rate with me sitting with these folks fighting about the most important thing in their lives. But what I find when you start with the premise, do you love your children more than you hate your ex? Because it stops them. And all of a sudden they start realizing what we're talking about. The school board's the exact same example. Our district survived two strikes in about a 5-year period. And the kind of strikes where people held signs up saying, honk if you hate teachers. The kind of strikes that break communities. Last year, we settled two of our contracts with unanimous votes. And there's a number of people on my school board that are very conservative thinkers. But what I found when I got on is they were capable, we were able to have conversations, and we solved it.
This kind of just piggybacks on your answer, but you've said that Congress is broken. You say you'd like to get Congress working again. How would you go about doing that?
Well, I think the first thing you have to own is that the right answers don't necessarily only come from the people with whom you agree. And I think both parties have allowed themselves to live in that space. The conversation I think we have to have is, what do we believe the country should look like? Just the same way I ask people, do you love your children more? We have to come to an agreement on who we are as a nation. Right now, if you work full-time minimum wage, single woman with two children, which is the typical representation in our district, you're under the poverty line. You're qualifying for absolutely every government benefit out there. Most people don't want that. In my little town of 3,800 people, we have 165 families that use the food bank every week. Every week. So this is not the America that I imagined. It's not the America that I grew up in. I mean, I was a child. I benefited from the reduced lunch program. I was one of the 22% when I was in school. We now have 48% of our students qualifying for free or reduced lunch. It is a significant increase. And it's not enough to say it. You have to know what you're going to do about it. The living wage can pull almost 900,000 families out of poverty. 900,000. This is a significant number. And when those families rise up out of poverty, it reduces the strain on the other benefits that we're providing. And that's the conversation I want to have.
As representative of Pennsylvania's 5th Congressional District, you'd represent 16 counties. How do you plan to reach and represent such a large area?
As it stands now, the representatives have two offices in their districts. Two offices in a really small district makes sense. Two offices in a district that covers 24% of the state seems silly to me. You have a limited number of staff that you're allowed to have. They've always been centered in the D.C. office, and then you've had skeleton crews in the offices of the district. I want to put that on its head. I would like to put 4 or 6 offices in the district, and you can do them very inexpensively. We really need a broom closet with Wi-Fi, but actually have representatives of the office accessible to people. If you recall Medicare Part D, when they did the prescription drug bill, even the folks that voted against it had people in their offices facilitating seniors applying for the benefit, trying to figure out how to navigate that. And I remember that as a moment when government worked. They disagreed, it passed, we helped our people do it. If you call Congressman Thompson's office today and say, I want to get insurance under the Affordable Care Act, will you help me? The answer is no. That's not what they do. That's what they should do. That's our representative's job as a conduit between the federal government and our population to help.
You're a Democrat, and the 5th Congressional District is predominantly Republican. Incumbent Glenn Thompson has enjoyed strong support in the past. Some might wonder, why run?
This seat has, it's traditionally been held by Republican. I will own that. I can't remake those numbers. However, the geography changed in 2011 when they did the gerrymander, and we picked up the eastern side of Erie. and we lost three counties, parts of three counties down in the southeast of the district. The demographic has changed. We're now predominantly women, which has never happened before. And I happen to come from smack dab in the middle of it. And this is home to me. I know these folks, and I know their issues and concerns. I also spent three of my best years of my life in state college, which is a much more liberal perspective than in the district. And we picked up Erie, which is a blend. So I have a reach and I have a connection with all of these populations that I can have that conversation. The folks that live around me, they're hunters and they're sportsmen, and they want their streams to be clean so they can fish. They also want to be regulated a little bit less. I understand that, and I know there's room to have that conversation with the folks on the far left and also in the middle. I can say the folks that I've been talking to, Republicans, know that we deserve better. I've yet to find someone who says to me, this is the best we get. This is the best government we get. So while the district has traditionally been Republican, I think they're ready for someone that wants to stand in the middle and say, we can do better, and I'm the woman to do that.
The reality is running for Congress requires big money. In 2012, according to the Center for Responsive Politics, the average winning congressional candidate spent more than $1.5 million. You've raised about $25,000. How do you face this financial challenge, and who's backing your candidacy?
So we've had tremendous success raising money from individual contributors. And of course, you know, you reach out to unions, you reach out to trade associations, people that are invested in seeing this district move to blue. Interestingly enough, while the amount that we've raised is not nearly what we need to, post-primary is a very different picture. The raising of the money, I don't want to say it becomes easier, but there's more at stake, and we have a lot of events planned. But if you also look at the numbers of how much has been spent on this race in the past, we haven't had a Democratic candidate that spent more than $100,000. We know this race can't be won on grit alone. We have to raise it, and we are. And every day is a little bit more, and it's about finding the people that are willing to step up and say, yes, we'll help.
What will be the first issue you tackle if elected?
So there are so many issues, living wage, that are currently being debated. Personally, in my heart, there's an issue known as rehoming, where the children of broken foreign adoptions are being given away under powers of attorney to random strangers many states away. And what we're finding is these kids are being trafficked for sex. They're being exploited on pornographic sites. It's really horrific. And it's been going on for years. And no one's being charged. It's not illegal. And I represent the foster children that come through Jefferson County. I practice divorce law so that I can afford to do that work. And it is one of our most vulnerable populations. And the fact that it's happening is unacceptable to me, and I know there's something we can do about it. There's a lot of other work that's going to need to be done, but personally, that's my issue.
So imagine that this interview is the only time a potential supporter will hear directly from you. What would you want them to know?
I want them to know that they deserve better representation. That for our democracy to work, we have to be electing people that not only know how to do the work, but are willing to do it on behalf of the entire district. When people come into my office, I never have asked them whether they're Republicans or Democrats. They're coming in to ask me for help. And my job is to listen to them, find out what they need, and then to do something about it. And that's what I've been doing for the past 13 years. And that's what people need. And that's not what we've been getting. So I hope they'll take from this that if they look on their primary ballot on May 20 and they press the button for Kareth Strano Taylor, it's an opportunity for them to have true representation and not just what I see as being important in the district, but what the folks that are actually living here need, having someone they can share those concerns with. I can ask enough questions to figure out how to fix it and then do the work to accomplish those goals, because we deserve so much better than what we have.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
If you're just joining us, this is Take Note on WPSU. I'm Patty Satalia.
WPSU's Kate Lau Schaffner just talked with Kareth Strano Taylor. Now we'll hear from her challenger, Thomas Tarantella. Tarantella served in the U.S. Army for 22 years, where he was a member of a rapid deployment force, a paratrooper, and a light fighter. He's a lifelong resident of Renova. This is his first time running for public office.
Thomas Tarantella, thank you so much for joining us.
It's a pleasure being here. Thank you for inviting me.
So tell me a little bit about your background. You were born and raised in Renova,
right.
And you spent 22 years in the U.S. Army and were deployed around the world.
Yes, yes. I did spend 22 years. I was a paratrooper at Fort Bragg. I was a light infantry man out in the 7th Infantry Division in California and Fort Drum, New York. And I've been to the Middle East, I've been to Central America, and I've been to Asia.
Why are you running for representative of Pennsylvania's 5th Congressional District? I read somewhere that you decided to enter the race after watching fellow veterans denied access to the World War II Memorial during the government shutdown.
Yes, that's correct. And I was watching that on CNN, and my daughter was home from college, and we was talking about this, and she said, "Dad, don't think about it, be about it." And I said, "You know, you're right, because after I spent my whole youth in defense of the country and our freedoms, it was time for someone to stand up for the common people out there." And that's what the decision was made.
How has your personal and career experience prepared you for a congressional seat?
Well, I think it's about action. That's what the whole thing is, about action. It's about working together. It's about loyalty. And that's all the values and experience that the U.S. military fosters in you and brings you along through your whole career. Yeah, I mean, that's what should be the concerns for our representatives in Washington. How can we do this better? Not politics, not the left against the right against the center against the left. It doesn't make sense to the common person on the street that's out there hurting. And where my career would in the military would be is get away from big business. It's not about that. It's about the small things in life. That's what matter. And with so many Pennsylvanians hurting, you know, if we would just use a common sense approach to just governing.
And you've talked about the fact that you're not a career politician.
Right, right. I've never held a public office. And this is a pretty big bite, the U.S. House. But it has to be done because we're falling by the wayside. Is this the country we want to give to our children? You know, are we actually going to see the fall of Rome?
What would be the first issue you'd tackle if you were elected?
The first issue is jobs. We spent 225 years building an infrastructure that we're watching deteriorate around us. Not just our roads, but our water systems, our schools, airports, federal buildings, state buildings, our monuments, our memorials. All that investment, all that sacrifice over all those years is just deteriorating. And if we could put people back to work, increase the tax base, then we could get something done.
As a representative of Pennsylvania's 5th Congressional District, you'd represent 16 counties. That district covers almost a quarter of the state. How do you plan to reach and represent such a wide area?
Well, we've learned that it is large. We've been traveling, and we have different areas. We have the northern region, the southern region, the western region, the eastern region, and everybody has a different values, but the concerns are basically the same. Throughout the whole 5th Congressional District. So what's good for Center County is probably good for Erie County, Clinton County, Potter County. You know, it's all about the common good for the common people.
In 2012, according to the Center for Responsive Politics, the average winning congressional candidate spent more than $1.5 million. I haven't been able to find a record of how much you've raised. How do you stand financially, and who's backing your candidacy?
Well, right now we have the Brotherhood of Maintenance of Ways, the Brotherhood of Locomotives. We have the AFL-CIO, you know, and so far we're doing pretty good. But you got to remember this. It's not about the money. It's about the people. Think about this. Roosevelt cured polio with a dime. Do we have to buy, you know, the dollar amount, how much per vote? Because when I first started that, they said, you know, you got to raise like $10 per vote that you get. And I, as a non-career politician, it doesn't make sense to me that you have to raise $3 million to represent the people of the 5th Congressional District.
So you talked about jobs in the infrastructure. What are some other issues that are important to you that you think distinguish you from the other candidates?
Well, I have a real good heartburn about corporations moving the jobs overseas and our federal government giving them tax breaks as an expense to move their manufacturing overseas, to give them a deduction for workforce overseas, shipping costs back to the United States. That's a big issue. Now, how are we going to have people working in America trying to compete with the people over there? Because in business today, it's about the bottom line. There is no loyalty. It's about how much money we can make for the short-term goal. And by denying corporations that move overseas our tax breaks, that'll allow the corporations that remain in America and maybe bring some back from overseas manufacturing, that would be part of the stimulus packet. It would actually stimulate, because if you don't have to raise taxes, I believe you have to broaden the tax base by putting more people to work, by giving them a living wage so they can pay taxes, and that'll pay off in the long run.
Congress's job approval rating was around 13% in Gallup polls this month. It seems that Americans aren't happy with what their representatives are accomplishing. If elected into office, how are you going to change this?
We have to look at what the interests are of the people, what are the duties of the office, and we have to set goals, and we have to set priorities to achieve those goals. You just can't get down there and do a 10-second soundbite or 20-second soundbite every day and be against everything. We got to start working together. It's just this simple. In 69, we put a man on the moon. When President Kennedy said, we're going to put a man on the moon, what did Congress do? They funded NASA, and we put a man on the moon in July in 69. In 55, when we started the interstate system, imagine today without the interstate system, when President Eisenhower said, we're gonna do this project, and Congress worked together for the common good, for the common goal. That's not happening today. It's what are we against this week? Not are we helping people? Are we improving? It seems like to me, and I'm not a career politician, but they're just working to be reelected. Just get by the soundbite, get reelected. I mean, 10% of the approval rating, 90% reelection. I mean, what do we have to do? What do we have to do to change this? We can do better. I know we can do better. We deserve better.
You're a Democrat, and the 5th Congressional District is predominantly Republican. Some might wonder, why run with uphill battle ahead?
It is an uphill battle. It is raining, and it is in the mud. But I don't think that Glenn Thompson has represented the 5th Congressional District the way it should be represented. You look at the Farm Bill. He likes to talk about the Farm Bill, his milk subsidies, and the insurance, which is all good things. But we got to look at the bad side. $100 million to a reality show in India to promote cotton, $25 million to study catfish. Okay, now that's all well and good, to spend that kind of money, $125 million on those two pet projects. But when you cut the SNAP program and you got 660,000 veterans that are on the SNAP program, when you have five counties in Pennsylvania that have 48% of the students are collecting free or subsidized lunches, and we have one school district, 68% of the students are getting free and subsidized lunches, something's wrong. We have to work for the common good. And yes, they are. The Democrats are outnumbered by 20,000, but there's 68,000 independents.
Imagine that this interview is the only time a potential supporter will hear directly from you. What would you want them to know?
Well, what I want them to know is to stand with the people. because it's about the people. It's the people that are suffering. And when I was in Flemington, I had a young couple there, and they said, Tom, we're part of the 2.6 million. And it didn't dawn on me at that time, but they were unemployed. Well, and they were fighting an uphill battle trying to find a job that paid more than $7 an hour. I think it was $7.50. And, and I could feel their pain. I was over there in Warren County. There was a man, 57 years old. He had just lost his job. His company moved overseas. And he was working for, he got another job, but he didn't know if he could make it because of the hourly wage. I know we can do better. And if I wanted the people to know anything about Tom Tarantella, is I will work for the people. And that's what it's all about. It's about the people. It's about the kids. We got 40,000 schools in America that need renovation and or replaced. We're looking at budgets. We're 29. We're going to remove 29,000 teachers' aides. What's a school without teachers and educators? It's a warehouse. Are we preparing our country or our kids, our younger generations, to compete for the next generation? The whole problem is we're losing focus on in government of the needs of the people. My concerns are, you want to have an education system, but you don't want to have teachers. You don't want to have schools. That makes no sense to me. That we go that way. We have so many hungry people, but yet we cut the food subsidies. We have our LEPA program, low energy efficiency help for our people. We cut that. Okay, but we don't cut anything of the corporations. Not saying that that's a bad thing to make money. That's not it. That's the American dream. But the problem is we have to help each other to get through the tough times, because this is the greatest recession since the Great Depression. And look at what would our grandfathers do and our fathers who won World War II. They call them the greatest generation. Would they accept this, what's going on today? No, they wouldn't. No, they wouldn't. The majority of them, they were in the Great Depression. They weren't. They got a high school education was eighth grade to them because they had to go to work, And they went over there, young men and women, and they fought World War II. They came back and said, we can do better, and we are better. And then all of a sudden, we start focusing on the wrong thing, And like I said earlier, are we watching the fall of Rome? The great America, infrastructure decline. Are we just throwing good money after bad? I don't understand it. We need to get the voters out. They need to vote. Because if we have 24% voters voting, that means that 13% are the ones that are controlling what happens every day. If you got a chance and make a time to get out to vote, take a friend, because it's all about the people. And only the people can change us, because everybody else is protecting their interest. Are you protecting yours?
Thank you so much for joining us today.
That's a pleasure.
That was WPSU's Kate Lau Schaffner talking with Thomas Tarantella. He's up against Kara Strano Taylor for the Democratic nomination to represent Pennsylvania's 5th Congressional District. In May, we'll be speaking with the gubernatorial candidates. To learn more, check the links on our website, wpsu.org/take note. I'm Patty Satalia, WPSU.